Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here's some tips for maintaining your Trex deck. Occasionally wash it with some soapy water or a pressure cleaner. Trex composite decking is low maintenance and won't fade, splinter or warp. Trex, the world's number one decking brand.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis. At sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists. At glgcorp.com, the First Serve, your home of tennis.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to a big Monday night, a special Wimbledon Ash Barty winning edition of the First Serve. Even though, I've got to tell you, the energy levels are quite low, you're still 24, 48 hours on, buoyed by the fact we have an Australian having won Wimbledon. And we cherish that. We sort of pinch ourselves. It still feels a little bit surreal. But we're going to indulge in that tonight. Alicia Molik coming up very soon. Craig Tizer, the coach of Ash Barty, to join us tonight. Paul McNamee, who knows all about winning at Wimbledon. In fact, not only did he win as a player over the weekend, he coached the women's doubles champions, Sue O'Shea and Elise Merton. So, Macca to reflect on that. Going to hear from Ben Crowe, who was on breakfast earlier today. Also, Craig Tiley, who, of course, spoke with Jared Waitley earlier today. We'll hear from the great Yvonne Goolagong herself, Josie and Robert Barty, the parents of Ash, who certainly were doing their best to stay away from the limelight. It was very much a last-minute call for us here at SEN to actually commentate the final on Saturday night. And credit and a big thank you to management that allowed that to happen in the end. And that's what we're about here at SEN, bringing as much live sport to the menu as possible. Now, this is not for me to indulge in listening to my own commentary, let me assure you. But there were plenty of people, as came through our text machine on Saturday night, that couldn't get near a TV around Australia who appreciated having the final in their ear. And these were the closing stages, which was pretty nervous, and it was magnificent to have Courtney Walsh, leading tennis writer for The Australian, alongside me.
Let's see what she can produce on serve. Goes down the tee, defender back here. It's a shortish ball. Barty opens up the shoulders, puts up the lob, does Pliskova there for the drive volley, and she's missed it, Barty. She's missed the drive volley. It set up the point. Oh, my goodness.
Tremendous defence from the Czech, but that was on the Australian's racket. Just clips the tape. So now a break point for Pliskova.
30-40 on the Barty serve as she launches down the tee. Forehand is right in the corner by Pliskova. Dug out by Barty. Cross court. Has it gone this time for Pliskova? It goes a fraction wide. Juice.
The Hail Mary there, because that was a remarkable return from Pliskova. Had Barty in all sorts of trouble. She just gets a racket to it, floats it back. Pliskova pulls it wide while going for the winner.
Barty here at juice. Down the tee. It lands beautifully. It's match point for Ash Barty.
Let's just leave the analysis at this. Come on, Ash.
Come on.
Match point. Fantastic serve.
Sign off in style, Ash. Where will she go? T wide? Where's she going to go, Walshy?
T.
Here we go. Barty, for the championship, she was going T. It caught the top of the tape, went well out of the service box. Second serve for Barty for the championship. Pliskova's backhand goes to the slice of Barty up the middle of the court. Pliskova's forehand is in. An exchange from the back. Pliskova into the net, and Ash Barty is a Wimbledon champion. It doesn't happen every day that an Australian becomes a Wimbledon champion. It's a moment we should cherish. What an unbelievable fortnight from the world number one, who not only is a Roland Garros champion, she's also now
the coveted Wimbledon champion, the first since Yvonne Goolagong Cawley, from an Australian female point of view, back to 1980, and the tears, while she are coming down her cheeks, and this crowd will give a standing ovation for quite some time.
Bravo, Ash Barty. Tremendous courage, tremendous play, great composure to reset in that third set. Now we see her on her haunches, in tears. Her box is in tears. You see Billie Jean, Martina Navratilova, the Royal Box, full of applause. Just a tremendous performance. Wonderful to see. I even think I see maybe a trickle of a tear in the eyes of Brett Phillips there.
Well, she is a star. She's got all the humility you love about sports people. She's going to take the climb up to the box. We saw Pat Cash do it all those years ago in 1987. She's trying to find her way to get up to those who love her the most, who are with her every day, working at being the best version. And she'll embrace all those in her player's box with the biggest of hugs. A Wimbledon champion. Her partner Gary, the tears flowing from him. And Tyres, what a partnership this has been. An incredible coach-player connection that they have. And a hug for Storm Sanders as well.
Just such a wonderful scene. The jubilation. And great credit should go to all of those in that box, because we know that Ash was touch or go to even play this tournament, given that hip injury.
Yep.
25 days of rehabilitation.
So they were the closing stages of what was a terrific three-set match. Great to be able to bring it on the SEN radio network around the country. And thank you to Courtney Walsh, outstanding job, the lead tennis writer for the Australian. First cab off the rank tonight, I wanted to have a chat to Alicia Molik, who achieved so much in her own career, a singles high ranking of 8, 5 WTA titles, quarterfinal of the Australian Open, 2 Grand Slam doubles titles, Olympic Games bronze medal 2004 in Athens, and she's going to lead our Australian female team to Tokyo coming up in 10 days' time. She will be the captain of that team. She knows Ash Barty extremely well. She'd be absolutely proud today. Alicia, it's great to have you on the show.
Oh, well, it's a real pleasure to join you. And I tell you what, I'll never, ever tire of listening to those closing stages of the Barty final. I mean, it was absolutely phenomenal. First of all, that Ash hadn't played a lead-up event, managed to get herself fit and ready for the tournament, and let alone to reach the final. I mean, just incredible from her.
Alicia, I know you've been spending a little bit of time away with the family because you're about to head across to Tokyo and you're going to be over there for some time. Can you tell me exactly where you were? What was the setting for Saturday night for you as you sat down and tuned in?
Well, I'm just a short 13-hour drive from Perth, actually, up north in Exmouth. Yep. So it is, given it's children's school holidays and the fact that I will be heading over to Tokyo with the Australian women's tennis team, it was I felt appropriate to get away and spend some time with my children and husband. So the setting was just at our holiday accommodation. It was just incredible, and a couple of other friends with us. But I do generally like to watch the tennis pretty quietly. But I tell you what, you know, I was never good enough to win a singles Grand Slam, but I feel like I've lived through Ash and I've won one by watching her achieve her childhood dream. And I mean, just quite phenomenal too that she won Junior Wimbledon at 15. She's now won the senior event as a 25-year-old. It's only 4 years ago that Ash sat outside the ranking of 250, both in singles and doubles. So to think that what she's achieved in such a short period of time, given it's only been 3 or 4 years, is, I mean, a true testament to her work and also that of her team, Craig Tizer as well, the immense work that he's put in also.
It's incredible, Alicia. I mean, your own lens, as you watch that match unfold, and any tennis match we watch, we go on a roller coaster because, you know, very rarely do you have it on your terms all the time. Just take us and give us your own thought as you were working your way through that match of just how you were reading it.
Yeah, I feel that Ash was quietly confident and reasonably calm to begin the match. I felt she did a great job to really try and move Pliskova around the court. And obviously she's quite tall, you know, 6'1", really rangy. She's a great returner. But I think that the telling point for me was, yes, I'm sure Ash was disappointed she didn't serve out the match in the second set, but it was the way she approached the first game of the third set. That's a different Ash Barty. You know, a couple of years ago, I think she would have shown a little more frustration at the start of the third set, having lost the second, been a little bit upset with herself. But the way she was able to carry herself, to regroup and then bring some great tennis back immediately after losing the second set was quite amazing. And it's testament to Craig and the work she's put in mentally as well. And she's just so much more of a mature player. It was only 2 or 3 years ago now that she, you know, she did have a little bit of a meltdown against Alison Risk at Wimbledon. But Ash says so herself, just how much she's continuing to learn on the way. Now she's got her second slam. I feel that anything from this point in time is an absolute bonus.
No, spot on. And Alicia, you can answer this question far better than I, because you've seen Ash in the inner sanctum and the way she prepares, the way she goes about her tennis. And, you know, we look at this, you know, from the outside looking in, the general public look at this, you know, young, authentic, well-mannered, you know, great family background, just presents herself exceptionally well. But underneath that, to get to world number one, you've got to be a pretty steely competitor who wants to get the absolute best out of yourself, and you would see more of that than the general public, you know, viewing her from the outside looking in.
Yeah, well, she is a steely competitor. I completely agree with it. At the same time, I think her tennis IQ is like no one else I've really experienced in terms of understanding what her opponent's strengths are, and then really on a dime being able to switch her game if she needs it. For so many other players, tennis players, competitors out there, you know, in the top level of women's tennis, don't have that same ability. They don't have the repertoire. They don't have the range of shots. But Ash is able to do that. And I think it just goes to show her maturity as well. And she just continually makes smart decisions for her career. Even when I just referenced when she was just outside the top 250, when she made her comeback after having a break, she started back on the double circuit. She didn't immediately jump straight back into singles. She waited to have a lot of double success with Casey Delacroix. And that's the other thing with Ash. We've got to remember, I mean, at 16, she was already in a Grand Slam doubles final. So she'd had some success, but to be honest with you, it came very quickly. And I think naturally for a young teenager, you know, like anyone else who should have been sitting grade 9 exams or grade 10 exams at the time, when you start to have all that, the spotlight, the expectation on you, at times it does become too much. And it's interest that you don't necessarily want. I get a sense that, you know, a lot came so quickly for Ash, and I don't think she was ready for it. And quite naturally so. She burst onto the scene. So I think having a break, coming back, and just the mature decisions she makes really culminates, I think, in her success. She's very good at picking, I think, genuine and great people around her. Yeah. And the fact that Craig Tizer has remained her coach since she stepped back into tennis, it's just, it speaks volumes, really.
Yeah, Tizer's about to join us from the UK, which is going to be terrific to chat to him. So as you look at the women's game right now, Alicia, I mean, obviously, you know, Osaka's got to come back and help from her injury, but, you know, we've seen Sabalenka really push up, and, you know, we haven't seen, unfortunately, the best of Andreescu for a little while. I mean, it's an interesting stage in the women's game, just the jockeying for positions. I mean, Ash is sort of, now you feel, created a bit of a buffer. I mean, they've got some chasing to do to certainly get the number one ranking off her, and her consistency is certainly shining. How are you sort of looking at the big picture of the women's game as we look into the next couple of years, where Ash can, you know, certainly build on what she's achieved and achieve even more great success?
Yeah, well, I have absolutely no doubt she will. And the fact that at the moment, you know, we have seen some switching with Grand Slam champions. You referenced Belinda Andreescu, also Osaka, you know, Halep out with some injury at the moment. So there's great opportunity. Obviously, Serena Williams is trying to chase down that elusive Grand Slam as well to equal Margaret Court's record. But I think that's where Ash, you know, she's remained fit, pretty healthy. Yes, she had a couple of weeks off, I guess, after the French Open, but it's a great opportunity for her now in women's tennis. And she's very level. You know, we see so many of the female players get to the top, and it's a difficult mantle, I guess, to continue to hold. And we've seen that now with Naomi Osaka, the pressure that is really that she's been overcome by, and I guess the recent drama of the French Open as well. It really is a great time for Ash, I think, to capitalise. She's now got the Tokyo Olympics as well as the US Open, which is on a nice, bouncy, quick, fast court for her as well. So, I mean, the sky's the limit now that she's captured that number one dream of hers.
Yeah, no
doubt. Let's be honest, Wimbledon.
I mean, how good would it be? I mean, if she can win an Australian Open, I mean, to see an Australian win an Australian Open, that would be just something absolutely magnificent. But first, Leisha, as I let you go, I mean, you're heading to Tokyo. And the Olympics obviously mean a lot to you and what you achieved back in 2004, and the team has been assembled. What's your anticipation? What are you looking forward to over the next few weeks?
Well, first of all, it'll be Ash's first Olympic Games, which I think is really exciting for her. And the fact that she's able to take to the court with one of her best friends in Storm Sanders and represent Australia as one of our doubles teams. I'm equally excited for Samantha Stoves. I mean, her fifth Olympics, that's spanning 20 years. I mean, it's just absolutely remarkable. But I am feeling, though, Brett, for the first time Olympians whom haven't experienced that Olympic feeling, you know, the marching and the closing ceremony and obviously competing without any sort of crowds, it will be, I guess it'll be telling, won't it? Those who have the self-motivation, who don't need, you know, the crowd cheering, but it will be a very safe bubble. Ash has a pretty quick turnaround. Ila Tomljanovic will also feature as part of our team. But I think it's important too for the globe that the Olympics goes on. It gives inspiration to those who are having pretty tough times, and also for the kids, something for the Australian kids to watch as well. Watching their superstars on TV at the right time block as well is really important.
No doubt. We're looking forward to that. And, of course, we're going to be covering the Olympics here on SEN right across the network. Leisha, great to get some insights. An unbelievable weekend for all of us that love tennis, who love Ash Barty. We love watching her play. She plays the game beautifully. And to be crowned a Wimbledon champion is something no one can take away from her. It'll be on her resume and CV forever. Really appreciate your insights, and good luck in Tokyo.
Well, thanks for having me, and please give Craig Tyson my love when you chat to him.
Will indeed. Leisha Mollick, always great with her time, of course, our Fed Cup or Billie Jean King Cup captain these days. Hopefully that gets reinstated next year. It's been delayed the last couple of years with COVID. Of course, Leisha, brought to you by Matthew Steer Accountants and Advisors. Work for the accounting firm where you're more than just a number. Visit their website, matthewssteer.com.au, for career opportunities. Craig Tyser, Paul McNamee, your thoughts, texts, all coming up on a big Ash Barty edition of the First Serve.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen. A quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Her parents have instilled the most amazing values of, you know, courage and resilience and determination, but also humility and humanity and sense of care and love. And she's been able to find that beautiful balance between courage and consideration. You know, the courage to push herself out of her comfort zone as far as she can go with these, you know, gifts she's been given, but also considerate that at the end of the day, it's not about her. It's about the impact she can have on others. And she's found that sense of purpose that she can inspire one little Australian girl or Australian boy to kind of follow their dreams and put themselves out of their comfort zones, but also have some self-compassion for themselves. And I think that's the beauty of her journey, is I think she's inspiring the whole world on just how to be a good human first, and a great tennis player second, or a great athlete second. And if you can develop that perspective and not determine your self-worth by, you know, whether she wins or loses a game of tennis, and that interference doesn't come into her life, and she can, I don't know, be more of the human being and less so the human doing.
Well, that is the voice of Ben Crowe, who has done a ton of work as part of the Ash Barty Inner Sanctum in that psychology, that mindfulness space. He was talking to Gary and Tim on SEM Breakfast earlier today with some really great insights. We're going to go right in the inner sanctum of the Ash Barty camp, and it's an absolute pleasure to welcome her coach, who has formed an amazing relationship. Not the first time we've chatted to Craig Tyser, and hopefully not the last. Tyse, good morning to you over there in the UK, and welcome and congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Brett. Good to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
How does it all sort of feel now? What are we, nearly sort of 48 hours after? I've got to say, back here, Tyza, still feels really surreal, to be totally honest. And we were lucky enough to call it live on the radio on Saturday night, and just so proud of what, you know, she's achieved. Considering the build up and the lead in and the injury from the French Open, it's a magnificent achievement. What about for you and the team around, Ash? How does it feel a couple of days after?
Yeah, look, I think very similar. Pretty surreal. Not sure it's really sunk in yet for all of us. It's been fairly hectic so far. But yeah, look, an amazing effort by the team around Ash to get her ready and to have her prepared enough to be able to play through the tournament, and then to finish up the way she did was pretty amazing.
I mean, to win a Grand Slam, it's an absolute journey, and to win seven matches and trying to peak at the right time, you know, coming in without any sort of grass court lead-in tournaments, which is not the be-all and the end-all. Plenty of champions in the past have, you know, not played between the French and Wimbledon, and obviously Ash revealed quite a bit post-match on the weekend about the nature of her injury and what she knew and didn't know and what was told and what wasn't told. She wanted to look at scans. She wanted to feel it her own way physically. Everyone knows her own body. I mean, there was a bit going on, obviously, behind the scenes.
Yeah, look, quite a lot. It was probably touch and go there for a while whether Ash would actually play, and then once the decision was made to to give it a crack and just, yeah, listen to her body a bit. And then the team put together a plan around that and worked towards it. And, yeah, like from my side of it, tennis-wise, I felt she was, pretty underdone going into it. But physically, she was hopefully going to be okay. And I think once we got through the first couple of matches especially, it looked like all things had sort of worked out really well.
Well, I was going to ask, actually, at what stage of the tournament did you start to feel as coach that, okay, yeah, physically looks okay, game's starting to get into good nick and you're looking at the draw and what's unfolding? Was there a pointed moment in the tournament where you were sort of sitting back, not certainly being complacent at all, but thinking that things are in pretty good order here?
Probably by the middle stages, about three or four matches in, I felt like she started to hit a bit of a stride with regard to her tennis. The first few matches were a bit up and down, and that was to be expected just with the amount of tennis she played going in. So I felt she got better through that middle part, and then, from the semi-final and the final were, yeah, pretty high standard, and probably the semi's probably the best match I've seen Ash play.
Yeah, and I heard you say that. I mean, thinking back to that, when she was 2-5 down, and obviously Angie Kerber, being a 3-time champion, was always going to raise her game. And I thought Ash made the great comment that, well, Angie made me raise my game with her. And at the end of the day, she was able to erase that deficit and win in straight sets. But no, I agree. I think everyone seems unified that was a pretty defining match.
Yeah, look, absolutely. I felt Angie certainly lifted, and being a champion at Wimbledon before certainly makes it tougher. And I mean, she's just such a good grass courter as well that she makes it difficult for you to play, and her ability to hit shots and play shots. And she sort of showed that in that second set when she went up. But yeah, look, to Ash's credit, she stayed with her and then raised her game, and on a big stage, it's a pretty amazing effort to do that.
Craig, we've spoken a number of times, and the partnership you've had with Ash is quite phenomenal. And it's certainly been well documented. You have an amazing connection. I mean, Ash always refers to you and the team any time that she speaks, so people can get a real sense of that connection. But has it evolved even further through sort of the COVID period? I remember talking to you last year when you couldn't even get up and be with Ash, and you were sort of having to do stuff remotely, and it was a little bit different. I mean, just take us through just the evolution of your partnership in the last couple of years.
Yeah, look, it's probably changed a lot in that last year. There wasn't really anything we did until towards the end of the year, so it was almost like a 6 month or longer break from each other. And yeah, we were speaking constantly, but didn't really have a huge amount of contact because there wasn't really anything Ash was doing tennis-wise as well. So But I think once we got back in October and did the training block, that it just sort of felt normal, and you know, just got back into the normal routine of doing what we do. It was just an extended period of time. And then I think it was just the decision to know that if we were going to play this year, that it was also going to be a long journey, and that we'd be away for, you know, however long it's going to take. But we just put our mind to, well, if that's what it is, that's what we've got to do. So it's just the acceptance of all of that. And it's difficult, and it's been really hard. But, you know, if you want to play tennis and you want to play at Wimbledon, it's what we had to do, really. So in the end, it's not much of a sacrifice when, you know, there's worse things going on in the world, that's for sure.
No doubt. Craig Tizer with us, the coach of the Wimbledon champion Ash Barty, here on a special Ash Barty edition, really. We're going to touch on a bit of Novak Djokovic later on, but it is about Ash tonight. Just from a game point of view, tell us a bit about the discussion behind the scenes. Her first serve is obviously a huge weapon for her. When she lands that first serve, you know, the numbers, the percentage of points won is high. But the emphasis around the second serve, it was clear through the tournament she was probably a little bit braver and going for a lot more on that second serve. Can you just take us inside the sort of discussion around that?
Yeah, look, I think that sort of varies depending on who she plays. You know, probably different, you know, serve differently against Angie than certainly Carolina. Like, she, you know, is bigger off the ground, and you've got to take more of a risk, otherwise the ball's gone back behind you, you know, before you've really hit it. So I think it changes match by match. That's often a bit of the discussion about how she's going to go about her games and what she's going to do with her serve according to who she's playing. So, look, it probably was a bit scratchy in the early rounds just because she hadn't been able to serve a lot and put a lot of time in, but it got better and better and the rhythm came back. And but, yeah, look, you know, some of those girls certainly put pressure on because they just returned so well. So I think she did a great job both, you know, with first and second serves throughout the tournament.
What was the best moment for you? Is it match point? Is it a feeling of euphoria? Is it relief? Then Ash comes up and greets you, and then we see those, you know, pictures where she, you know, goes up the stairs, has a chat to the royal family, out on the showing the trophy to the fans, and then comes into the Royal Inner Sanctum back with you and Gary, her partner, and Storm was there as well. And that was pretty emotional, and we got to see that on camera. What was the most pointed part for you, do you think, Craig?
The winning it and that last point was pretty amazing. You sort of, you know, it's never over until you win it. And I think you saw that with Ash as well as, you know, us in the box, that it was such a celebration because it is difficult to win and you have to go and win it. You can't just expect someone else going to fall over in front of you and hand it to you. So the fact that it went out and did that. So I think, that final point was, amazing for all of us in the team, and you know, we'll remember that for a very, very long time.
Absolutely. And I was talking to a few people today, and I think Peter Owen, who you know well, was off air just saying, you know, look, this guy, you know, he was, you know, coaching in Melbourne and, you know, from Oak Park, and, you know, and here he is with Ash Barty, the world number one. It's an incredible story. I mean, do you pinch yourself, just the whole journey, just your own personal journey through coaching that you've been on?
Yeah, look, it's been a long time for me. You know, I've been in it for an extremely long time with, you know, a number of different players. So it's certainly a journey and a learning process for me as well. And you continue to learn, you continue to grow, and that's all, you know, I look to do. And obviously now with Ash, it's, you know, it's the same sort of thing, just continuing to keep learning, continuing to keep pushing and heading towards the goals that we set and, you know, what we're trying to achieve long term.
And credit to what you and Ash and the team are doing, being away from Australia for the best part of 8 or 9 months, testament to you know, just your commitment, and obviously there's so much to achieve, and it's exciting times. And I imagine it's a pretty fun camp to be inside behind the scenes. So do you get a little break for a few days, Craig, as I let you go? What's next? Do you head to Tokyo yourself?
Yeah, heading to Tokyo. So we're going to take a little break prior to that, just a little holiday, just on the way to the airport now. And nice. then we'll head to Tokyo in a week or so and, you know, get ready for that as well.
Hey, great to chat. And the love for Ash Barty back here, I mean, you know, it's palpable. I mean, just her as a human being, I think that's shining through the legacy. I mean, not only her great tennis, but her as a human being. And many people saying today she's probably our number one sports person at the moment. So we can't wait to see her and the team back here in Australia. Craig, enjoy your break and really appreciate the chat tonight.
Appreciate it. No problems, Brett. Thanks for having me on.
Craig Tizer, the coach of Ash Barty. What a combination they have been as player and coach. All our chats tonight. Thanks to Matthew Steer, accountants and advisors. Work for the accounting firm where you're more than just a number. Visit matthewsteer.com.au for career opportunities. We'll get the insights of Paul McNamee next.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
Brett Phillips with you post the Ash Barty triumph at SW19. Great to catch up with Craig Tizer, the coach, Alicia Molik off the top of the show. And prior to us going to air tonight, I caught up with Paul McNamee, who is over in London, the two-time Wimbledon men's doubles winner 80 and 82, mixed doubles Grand Slam champion 1985. He was there watching Ash, of course, but also coaching Su Wei Shea and Elise Mertens to win the women's doubles crown. Third time for Su Wei, who's great to watch. And I did catch up with Macca just prior to the show and talking about the prestige of winning Wimbledon.
It's the most prestigious, but I think all the four Grand Slams are equal, in my opinion. I've thought that for a long time. Since we were able to elevate the Australian Open to the same status, I don't put one ahead of the others. But in terms of history and prestige, I think Wimbledon holds a special place for Australians, you know, especially for Ash Barty because of her background and the journey that Yvonne Goolagong-Cawley went along. It was kind of in her genes, I think, that DNA that Yvonne had, that the same journey that Yvonne traversed, someone like Ash was just magically attracted to that, and it all came together Saturday. It was remarkable. You know, coaching Su Wei, Shea, and Elise Mertens, because Elise's coach wasn't able to be there. His grandmother had passed away, and so I kind of took up the reins for both of the girls, getting them ready for the doubles final against Kudermetova and Vesnina, a couple of Russians who were a bit unlucky for Storm Sanders and Delahide. They had match points, so it could have been again against Storm Sanders, actually, in the final. They were just so unlucky. Storm was so unlucky not to be in that final. And, of course, she was there watching Ash Barty in the singles final. We were preparing for that, but as you do when you're the next match on centre court, you're watching it the whole time. We're hoping and thinking it would end in straight sets, actually. I think like most of Australia was too, because it was getting later in Australia and you want Ash to get over the line. And, you know, that turnaround by Pliskova, and Ash, she did wobble a bit in that second set. And then, you know, the third set you knew was up for grabs. So we're in there's this sort of special warm-up area near the player restaurants, downstairs near the gym. And that's where everyone is before the matches. And it's kind of quite reverent, that area, getting towards the end of the tournament. John Peers was waiting to go on and watching as well with us. He was waiting for his mixed doubles semifinal. So, you know, and Aussies, you do get attracted to each other in these big moments because you know how much it means. And so there is a natural camaraderie. Yeah, I saw every point of that third set, but in the training area.
Her skill set, I mean, I'm just keen to get your lens on it, but you always sort of feel nervous, but you feel confident that she can come up with the goods, that she's got something in her makeup that right now is making her the most formidable player in the world.
I think the ranking does help give you confidence. The fact she isn't the number one ranked player in the world, you know, that is a great angel on your shoulder, if I can call it that. You are number one in the world. And just having that ranking is a little intimidating to other players, where they believe, well, it's no surprise that she's going to be back again. And they know that the number one in the world is not going to go away, as we're seeing on the men's side as well. We saw again yesterday. It was amazing. So the number one, I think the number one rank helps. The fact she's already won a major helps, that Pliskova hadn't won a major. And you're right, she has been able to get the job done when things haven't been going away. And I mean, that is a great thing about tennis. You can reset at the start of a set. But I think so much progress has been made for athletes to be able to reset. And I think Djokovic is the master. He's the Zen master of all players, there's no doubt. And I think the way he's able to you know, he sort of says he awakens that wolf energy that, you know, Ash, I think, is with the team around her, is able to draw on that. And she, you know, she knows she's very much about the collective and the team and knowing that there's a role for everyone. And she's a team player when she goes out there, as she does when she played cricket or other things. I feel she loves the fact she's representing Australia and the team and her background as well. So I think it's sometimes a little easier in a team than by yourself, where that gladiatorial nature can really do you in and draw out some negative thoughts. She, I think, keeps reminding herself she's part of a bigger story and a bigger picture and a bigger team. And I think she does it exceptionally well.
So, Paul, having played, administered, coached across a long journey through a number of different eras, how do you look at the Ash Barty triumph compared to Yvonne back in 1980 and what she did, obviously, you know, prior to that? And obviously the times are different. The depth of countries playing the game is very, very different, different times. But how do you sort of compare and the moment itself?
You might like this, but I don't think this is necessarily as tough an era as it was back then. We've got to be fair. I mean, Yvonne beat Margaret Court in the final. She beat Chris Abbott in the final. She beat champions, absolute champions. I mean, you can only beat the people that are there. And Ash is the number one in the world, so she's incredible. But there is a transition period right now in women's tennis, with Serena and Venus not where they've been. Maria Sharapova's not there anymore. Azarenka's not in the best anymore. Great players of this era have moved on. We've been waiting for it in the men's game as well, obviously. It just hasn't happened yet. I think her semi-final win against Kerber was fabulous, because Kerber's won Wimbledon. She knows how to get it done. So I don't think, you know, we should get carried away with the quality right now. The depth is enormous, but I think you're going to see in 2 or 3 years, it's going to be much harder when you see the way some of the younger women are hitting the ball and the way that they're coming through. The Muguruzas and those haven't quite gone to the next step like Ash has. So she is starting to create some space, perhaps. But, you know, Osaka wasn't there. Andreescu hasn't found her form after being injured since that great US Open. So having said that, Ash is a better player on the natural surface. I mean, what she did at Roland Garros and at Wimbledon, you need those all-round ball skills that she has on a grass court. She's got that innate ability. So I think she's starting to create that distance, and the others are going to have to start catching up, which wasn't the case. So I think it has changed a little bit, but I don't want to exaggerate, oh, it's better than what Yvonne did or Margaret Court or anyone else. I think that's not fair to those eras, which were amazing, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And certainly not suggesting this era is tougher. It's interesting, just the, I suppose, amount of countries now that are playing tennis. It is a different time, is that the technology's different. It's just different. It's really tough to compare eras in any sport, to be totally honest.
It does create more depth, but it doesn't necessarily mean at the pointy end that you know, champions, you know what it means to say someone's Chris Evans a champion, Yvonne, Margaret, you know, Billie Jean, you know, Martina, and everything, you know, and then you've got the Williamses and the Azarenkas for this year. Who would you call the great champions of this era? Ash is going into that as a multiple champion. Naomi Osaka, yes. Maybe Simona Halep. You know, but it's not so clear. The fact that the last four women's Grand Slams, let's remember, there were 16 different semi-finalists.
Yeah.
So let's put it in perspective.
No, well said. Just to close, I mean, for you, what a fortnight. I mean, as you said, you took on the coaching reins, Sue and Elise, and you win the title. I mean, it doesn't get much better than that, Paul.
That's right. Well, I hadn't seen Sue since the Australian Open run when she made the quarters. And, you know, it's been kind of hard to get out of Australia. let's just call it as it is. I was able to get permission to go to Wimbledon from Home Affairs, and you know, Sue Wei, to win a third Wimbledon doubles title with three different partners is remarkable in itself. And then, you know, be part of the whole scene to see Djokovic going for the 20th Grand Slam, and you know, I'm very happy that he did, to be honest, and I think he deserves it. And to see Ash, the way she was warming up with her team, you know, with the Sharon footy, each day kicking it out in the practice area. I mean, and even in the hut where it was raining, they were kicking the footy. I mean, it was an interesting Wimbledon because we were in a bubble. So there wasn't the atmosphere that there's been in other years. I mean, there wasn't with the crowd in the second week, but it wasn't quite the same being, you know, 2 weeks in a bubble, which was done pretty well by Wimbledon. But Ash, you know, she was very relaxed. I could just tell on the weekend, she'd say, you know, she gives the Aussie g'day. You know, she was in a good place. You could tell that. It's a joyous win for Ash and her team and for Australia.
It's hard to measure and quantify the impact this can have through the generations down. I mean, it might inspire more young girls to believe in their dreams and pick up a tennis racket. I mean, how do you sort of quantify what the bigger picture could look like now that she's got a couple of majors under her belt?
For young women in Australia, especially from rural Australia, as well as Indigenous background or any background, the fact that you could dream and to win a Wimbledon title, it reminds us of the Yvonne Goolagong dream. And now we've got Ash Barty doing the same thing again. I think it's awfully inspiring to young girls. And the opportunities are just exploding in women's sport now. And Ash is at the peak. She's, in my opinion, by far the biggest Australian female athlete, if not athlete, period, across the board. So I think on the women's side, it's enormously inspiring. I think on the men's side, we're still waiting to see on Nick Kyrgios, to be honest. And then whether, you know, Alex Popperin can go the next step, Alex Dimonor the next step. These are really good players, okay? Three of them are really good. And, you know, I just think Nick, when he just gets peace and you know, obviously he's dealing with a lot, but, you know, I've said it, you know, that mixed doubles decision to play and ended up playing 5 days in a row, for me, that was such a management choice mistake. I mean, you know, in my opinion. So I think on the men's side, we've still got a little bit of wait and see, because I think one, or if not more than of those three, are going to go to the top 10, are going to be contending at some point. So I think there's a difference between the women's side and the men's side right now.
Great to get the thoughts of Paul McNamee, brought to you by Matthew Steer Accountants and Advisors. Work for the accounting firm where you're more than just a number. Visit matthewsteer.com.au for career opportunities. Weighing in well under Macca with Sue Wei-Shane, Elise Mertens. As we head to the break, Rob and Josie Barty, the parents of Ash, reflecting on their daughter's unbelievable win at Wimbledon.
Very, very happy. Just so pleased for her, for what she's done, the effort she's put in, the commitment she's done. The whole team, they do an amazing job. And what they've been able to achieve is just beyond belief, as far as what I'm concerned.
Just really excited. I'm just so happy that she's done it this year too. Like, just it's a really lovely year to do it with Yvonne's anniversary and just everything they're going through. I just think it's fantastic. So excited.
But she's such a lovely girl. She's a wonderful human being. She cares deeply for her sisters and her mother. She wants to speak to them every day. And that makes me so proud of her.
Yeah, I'm just proud of how she treats everybody, and she's still the same person regardless of the tennis, but she's just amazing.
First Serve Tennis Sunscreen, a quality Australian-made sunscreen to protect those that love their tennis at sunblesssunscreens.com.au and GLG Green Life Group, your open space specialists, providing landscape, horticultural and environmental services throughout Australia at glgcorp.com. The First Serve, your home of tennis.
She made me proud from the first time I saw Ash. And she must have been about 13, and she was playing at the Australian Open. And Roger and I stayed there and watched a bit, and we saw one whole point which she had showed all the skills. She did the slice, the volley, the smash, everything in one game. And we both just looked at each other and said, oh, she's got it. She's going to be our next champion. I never really watched myself play for years until I showed some of our kids from our National Indigenous Camp, showed them a film of me playing, and that's the first time I watched myself. It was more emotional for me to be watching Ash, you know, during that time, because everybody reacts differently, I think, after they win Wimbledon.
They do indeed. That's a little bit of Yvonne Goolagong. It's an extended version of that, but that was recorded yesterday in the aftermath of Ash winning Wimbledon. I mean, you know, I've been lucky to interview Yvonne at a couple of functions, talk about humility and someone not wanting to be in the spotlight, her and Roger just watching it up on the Sunshine Coast, away from prying eyes. And yeah, it's almost like the stars were meant to align. 1971, 50 years, 1980, Yvonne the last winner, and here's Ash wearing a replica dress and getting it done. So it has been the Ash Barty show tonight. No disrespect to Novak Djokovic at all. We'll continue to revel in that as we do our show weekly here on SEN. But a 20-time major champion alongside Roger and Rafa, and no doubt he will go past. And I've spoken on SEN quite a bit today about the next 3 years while he's still in his prime, that, you know, he could win four or five more. He'd go past Margaret Court's record of 24. So a big opportunity, a gold medal, Although he maybe has talked that down. Watch this space on Djokovic in Tokyo, but certainly the US Open. He'd love to complete the calendar slam. All thanks to Matthew Steer Accountants and Advisors. Work for the accounting firm where you're more than just a number. Visit matthewsteer.com.au for career opportunities. Great to have them on board. And also our good friends at Yonex celebrating 75 years performance product crafted in Japan. Check out their latest range at yonex.com. There's plenty of analysis of Barty and Djokovic and everything else from Wimbledon at our website, thefirstserve.com.au, and all our socials, Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. Make sure you follow us. Ash Barty, a Wimbledon champion. We'll take that to the bank. There's more to come on that, let me tell you. More to come from The First Serve next Monday night.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.